Thank you, thank you. All right, take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Amos. Not a lot of preaching is done from the minor prophets, but the book of Amos, the book of Amos. What a privilege it is to preach in House Anderson Chapel. Our schedules don't allow, my schedule doesn't allow me to be really outside of the church campus and City Baptist and so on like that. I do travel a little bit, but not where I'm going all the time. But I love every time I come here, I really, you know, I do travel, and I was telling Brother Collins, just got back from the East Coast, people just brag about House Anderson students. They brag about your zeal for the Lord, and they brag about the fact that you are not afraid to get your hands dirty, and they brag about the fact that you have a genuinely good spirit. We just finished midterms, I think. I think some of you are, you opened up Canvas and you fell out because you saw your grades, and you started praying, and it was too late. God can't answer prayers after you've already gotten that grade. But I do want to take a few minutes, and I want to talk to you, just kind of have a little midterm check on your personal spiritual life. Just a little midterm check on your life. I met with our men in our bus ministry a few weeks ago, and I asked them four questions. I said, guys, give me a thumbs up, give me a thumbs down, or the hanging, you know, not so good. And so I asked four questions. I said, and I want to ask you. And so you can give me the thumbs up, give me the thumbs down, or give me the, you know, the hang, you know, maybe. How many of you would say that your finances are good? Yes, no, okay, all right. How many of your finances are good? All right. And how many of you, and either down, up, down, or sideways? How many of you would say that your grades are good? Up, down, or, okay. You're like, Brother Ricky, I can't go that low. I know, and so. How many of you would say that your relationships are good? So they're good, they're bad, or they're hanging in the balance, amen? Hey, by the sound of it, not getting anybody to date, your relationships are hurting. And then the last ones, how's your walk with God? Is your walk with God good? Is your walk with God, or does it need help? By the way, sometimes we get this idea that if I tell people that I have a good walk with God, that that's pride. It's not pride. You know, one thing I would say was we interview youth pastors, and we always say, you know, give us your resume. They give us a resume, and I can do this. I can do media, and I can lead singing, and I can do all that. And I tell the guys, I said, right in there, or when the pastor asks you what qualifications you have, first qualification you ought to say is, sir, I don't know what you're looking for. I'm not the best at media. I'm not the best at music. I'm not the best at leading. But, sir, I do have a walk with God. And I don't think that's prideful for you to say that. But I want you to think at your midterm checkup here, how are your finances? How are your relationships? How are your grades? How is your walk with God? We're going to go to the book of Amos this morning. Amos, one of the 12 minor prophets. And not a lot is preached from these books, but there's a lot of good truth. The prophets were there. By the way, Amos, interesting, was a contemporary along with Isaiah and Hosea, and he was the oldest of them. So we think of Isaiah, but Amos preached along the same timeline, and he was older than those men. And so much of the prophets were, their job was to try to bring the children of Israel back to God. And in preaching, this preaching is evangelism and it's edification. It's evangelism. We're reaching. We're trying to get people saved. We're trying to get people discipled, trying to get people to come to Christ. Then there's edification. There's building up. There's trying to train servants like what we're doing in this room this morning, trying to launch out people to go out into the ministry and do as we have done and to do as God has called you to do. But so much of the preaching that comes from the pulpits has to be the constant correction and the constant redirection of those who are saved who so easily get astray. So I want you to remember that. It's so easy for us to get astray. Let me make this comment right here. If at any time you were more on fire for God than you are today, you are backslidden. Right. Now let me say it again. If at any time you were more on fire for the Lord, more determined, more dedicated, more focused, more in the word, more in prayer, more in seeking the lost, my friend, you are backslidden. It's good ever so often to have a little checkup, more than a checkup from the neck up, a checkup from the heart up, and just to say, okay, I've been here for 3 months. Where am I spiritually? One of the easiest places to backslide is the Christian school. One of the easiest places to backslide is a Bible college. Why? Because what happens is you think the environment is what makes you spiritual. You think the special music is what makes you spiritual. You think that's enough to get you going. Brother, that will give you a little toe tapping for a little bit. And that'll make you holler amen for a little bit. But you will not succeed in the Christian life without a daily walk with God. Let me say it again. I know I'm preaching to preachers and preaching to full-time Christian servants and bus captains and ministry leaders, but you will not make it without a daily walk with God. There's not one event. There's not one service. There's not one sermon that will last you a lifetime. You must daily die. You must daily renew yourself. You must daily come to the cross. You must daily lay down your sin. You must daily repent of that which is hindering your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Amos, this minor prophet, is preaching. He's down in the southern kingdom, and he's preaching up to the northern kingdom, and he's warning God's people. He said, there's something coming called the day of the Lord. He said, and when that comes, that's going to be a day of judgment. And by the way, I don't know when Christ is coming, and I don't put a time or a date on it, but just as a casual observer, it may be very soon. It may be very soon. Look what he says. I'm sure you. First of all, I want you to notice that as Amos preached, he called out other people's sins. So much like us. We're so quick to call other people's sins. We're so quick to call out other people's shortcomings. We're so quick to call out how other people have failed and backslid. But hang on. Amos sets them up really good. He goes ahead and he preaches about the sins of Moab and about the sins of all those other countries. And then he lets Israel have it. Look at Amos chapter 1 with me. Verse 1, I'm going to go through these real quick. Word of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. By the way, this was a very prosperous time. Jeroboam was a good military leader, but he was also a man that could move the economy and a man that had the northern kingdom at some of his height as far as its economy and its finances. And the Bible says, if you'll look, I'm just going to run through a couple of these. If you'll go down to verse 3, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus. Look at verse 4, but I will send a fire into the house of Hazael. Look at verse 5, I will break also the bar of Damascus. Look at down in verse 7, but I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza. Verse 10, but I will send a fire on the wall of Tyrus. Verse 12, but I will send a fire upon Teman. Look at verse 2, but I will send a fire upon Moab. So Amos begins preaching by pointing out the sins of God's enemies and the wrongdoing of God's enemies. And we're so much like that. It is easier to point out somebody else's fault than it is to look in the mirror and say, man, woe is me. I am undone. But then Amos begins to address God's people. We need to address God's people from time to time. We very easily go astray. We very easily get distracted. We very easily get deceived. We very easily get detoured. And ever so often, we just need a little midterm checkup to say, hey, listen, you came here back in August, and you were excited, and you and your mom and daddy hugged out there, and your pastor, and he prayed over you. And some of you are the first from your church to come here. And some of you are the first that have ever stepped foot in a Christian college. And you came in here, and you didn't know any better. You got into a room, and you met some people. And then all of a sudden, you got so busy doing the things of God, you forgot about God. And all of a sudden, you got so busy paying for a school bill to go to a Christian college that you forgot to be a Christian in a Christian college. And all of a sudden, you got so overwhelmed because you didn't realize the pressures. You didn't realize the schedule that was upon you. And instead of leaning into the things that help build you up as a strong Christian, you forsook those things. Listen, let's do a little midterm check. How are you doing with the Lord? How's your walk with the Lord? Are you as good a Christian as you were on day one back in August? Or are you struggling? Are you failing? If I had a title for this sermon, I would call it this: Empty Hearts, Empty Buses, Empty Altars. Empty hearts, empty buses, empty altars. I'm going to show you where the first thing he said, you have an empty heart. I want you to go to Amos chapter 5, verse 21. Amos chapter 5, verse 21. He says this, Amos chapter 5, verse 21. He says, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs. Take it away. It wasn't your music. Your songs were no longer songs of worship. You were singing to me, but it was from an empty heart. You were singing from me, but you were singing out of ritual. You were singing, and you were just singing because it's what you do. But deep down in what, it was not more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. It was not all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. It was not little as much when God is in it. The first thing, young people, I want to ask you this morning is, are you worshiping with an empty heart? When was the last time that you were just overwhelmed by the fact that you're saved? The last time you were overwhelmed that God would reach down and save you. Hey, if he saved you from a crib, amen. If he saved you from a jail cell, amen. But he saved you. He saved you. Don't let yourself get this empty heart where everything becomes a ritual. God says, don't bring no sacrifice to me. He said, don't bring your offerings to me. He says, your songs are just a noise. Hey, is your song just a noise before the Lord? Do you need a little tune-up? Do you need a little checkup? Do you need to search your heart out and get right with the Lord? Are you backslidden? Are you further away than you were before? Oh, listen, if you're a senior, let me tell you something I tell my seniors at City Baptist all the time. Do not graduate backslidden. Don't graduate backslidden. Easiest thing to do with that mentality, I'm crossing the finish line. Phew, I'm done. I'm glad that's over. Amos said, you're worshiping with empty hearts. And God says, don't bring it. Don't bring that fat calf. Don't bring that sacrifice. Don't bring that to the altar. Your song sounds like noise. And I wonder sometimes as we sing in chapel, and you all sing tremendously. And I lead singing in youth conference for 20-something years, and I love it. And I'll tell you what, as a song leader, you get that, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people singing. And sometimes I just shut up and let them sing. It's just amazing to hear people praise God. But I wonder, of the hundreds of people that are in here, as we sing to the Lord, I wonder how many of us are just have an empty song.
Well, come on.
I wonder how many of us are just singing so that no one will point out the fact that we're not singing.
Right.
Be careful about that empty heart. When's the last time you wept? When's the last time God moved you through preaching? Well, I'll tell you what, I was on the platform City Baptist on Monday, and the Lord convicted me about something. Brother John was preaching about the heart to the young people, and Brother John made this statement. He said, be thankful that God still convicts. And man, I sat on there and I thought, man, that's good for me. I need that. I am so thankful that God still convicts. I'm so thankful that God still speaks to me.
Right.
No one ever arrives. None of us ever arrives. We've not reached some pedestal, some pinnacle. We're not on some ivory palace that you can't. No one ever gets there, man. Until we get to heaven, it's going to be a struggle, a daily struggle of killing that old man and renewing ourselves in Christ. He said, you have an empty heart. He said, then would you go down to Amos chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 real quick. I don't have much time. Amos chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel, and for four I will not turn away this punishment thereof. Now he's coming after God's people, children of Israel. Because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. Why? It was a very, very prosperous time in that kingdom. They became, they wanted money. They wanted prosperity. By the way, if you're chasing something today other than what God called you to do, you're backslidden.
Right. Amen.
If you're chasing that job, that dollar bill, chasing the paper, listen, man, only thing I know chases paper is the dog.
Right.
And he says this, verse 7, that pant after the dust of the earth or the head of the poor and turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father were going into the same maid to profane my holy name. And he goes on, he says, you're going past people. You're walking past people. And you're seeing these people, but they're being taken into bondage, and you're seeing them live in sin. And you're seeing these people as you walk by, they're forsaken and they're poor and they've not been cared for. And he says, you just passed by.
Come on.
You just passed by. We are so self-absorbed. We always have to be in our phone. We always have to be with somebody else. The Bible says, he that separateth himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Some of y'all need to leave the clique.
Come on. Come on.
So we have empty hearts because of empty hearts. Now we have empty buses because we just passed people by.
Well, come on.
We just passed people by. Oh, I'm not going to talk to him. He's a bum. I'm not going to talk to her. Man, she looks like she's evil. I'm not going to go to that group. They look like they're bad. We're just passing people by.
Come on.
And our empty hearts are leading to empty buses.
Right.
If you had more workers on your bus last week than you had kids, maybe you ought to split up and make two or three routes, but stop going by and leaving people, passing people by.
Come on.
Because I'm too busy. Because I gotta go out to eat. Because we got to go fellowship. Because I've got things to do. Yeah, I know I got people up there that need help and need God, but let's just pass those people by. They'll be okay. Somebody else will get them. Those are empty hearts, and then they just passed the people by. Look at Amos chapter 5, verse 11. Amos chapter 5, verse 11. For as much, therefore, as your treading is upon the poor, and you take from him burdens of wheat, you have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. He says, I'm going to remember what you did to those people. The people you passed by because you were too busy. The people you passed by because they were a different color. The people that you passed by because you were in the wrong neighborhood. The people you passed by because you had to get back to do something that's more important. Hey, listen, young people. Love what God loves and seek what God seeks.
Right. Amen.
And God loves the soul of man, and God seeks the soul of men.
Right. Amen.
Those empty hearts. Empty buses is letting people pass by. Some of y'all need to understand, you came to a Bible college, not a fraternity.
Come on.
We're not in the fraternity.
Right.
We don't get together and haze and have a good time.
Come on.
We get together and go soul winning.
Amen. Let's go.
We get together and disciple.
Right.
And then may I leave you with the last thing here. I said there's empty hearts, empty buses, then there's empty altars. I want you to go to Amos chapter 3, verse 14. That in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. Hang on, Bethel, that name sounds familiar. Name sounds familiar. The altars of Bethel? The transgression at Bethel? Let's go to Genesis chapter 31, verse 13. Genesis chapter 31, verse 13. Genesis 31, 13. The Bible says this, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee up from this land, return unto the land of thy kindred. I am the God of Bethel. They had allowed Bethel, a holy place, to become an altar to false gods. And they had allowed Bethel, a holy place, to be a place where they made it altars where they would worship other than God. And God said, I am the God of Bethel. Empty altars. Empty altars. When was the last time that you went by and you knelt at an altar?
Amen.
When was the last time you had God speak to you? When was the last time you were so broken that you had to skip work? That you had to skip a class? This is the last time that God broke your heart. Young people, let's do a little midterm check, and I'm done. How's your walk with God? Good? Bad? Yeah. If you're here, you're lukewarm. You know God's opinion of lukewarm is? I will vomit you. Very easy to be backslidden in a Christian college. Why? Amos said, children of Israel, you have empty hearts. You sing to me, It's just noise. He said, hey, children of Israel, he said, you pass the people by. Our buses are empty because we passed the people by. Children of Israel, you took Bethel, that altar, that's mine. And he said, children of Israel, you profaned it. Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please? Would you check your heart? Could you just do a little midterm checkup? Would you ask yourself, do you have an empty heart? Are you passing people by? Do we have empty altars? Do we have an empty heart? Are we just passing people by? And do we have empty altars? It's time now to do a little midterm check and say, God, I've lost it in the last few months. God, I've drifted in the last few months. And say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for convicting me. And God, from this day forward, God, I'm going to get back on track. I'm going to get back to that.